A sleepless night in a mosquito-filled African airport doesn't sound like a moment of clarity. Yet there, waiting for a dawn flight to Guinea-Bissau, something profound crystallized. Happiness isn't found in comfort. It emerges from pursuing something larger than ourselves. This realization came after a decade-long journey to visit every country on Earth, a quest that transformed not just one life, but sparked a movement challenging how we think about purpose and fulfillment. We're surrounded by stories of grand adventures, from ancient epics to modern blockbusters, yet most of us treat these narratives as entertainment rather than blueprints. What if these stories resonate so deeply because they reveal something essential about human flourishing? A true quest isn't a vague aspiration or casual hobby. It requires specific elements: a clear endpoint, genuine challenges that stretch your capabilities, meaningful sacrifice, a sense of calling, and incremental progress you can measure. The difference between wanting to travel more and committing to visit every country mirrors the gap between dreaming and living. Quests rarely announce themselves with trumpets. They begin quietly. A volunteer stint on a hospital ship, a devastating layoff, a job offer that feels wrong despite its promise. Sandy Waiton lost her GM job and found Route 66 through her camera. Tom Allen rejected a prestigious position after realizing others were steering his life, then cycled the world with minimal experience. Their connection isn't recklessness. It's when discontent meets inspiration and becomes action. This awakening arrives as persistent questions. What truly matters beneath society's expectations? Who am I when no one's watching? What would I attempt if fear didn't whisper impossible? John Francis witnessed an oil spill and began walking everywhere, adding 17 years of complete silence. His choices cost him his job and strained relationships, yet he felt compelled forward. When explaining became exhausting, silence became his teacher. Not speaking precludes argument, and the silence instructs me to listen. The formula: dissatisfaction plus big idea plus willingness to act, transformation. Your calling needn't be extreme, but it should make your heart race. That thing where you lose track of time. When adventure offers itself, you choose. Refuse it and wonder forever, or answer and discover who you might become. Any moment can redirect your life through conversation, opportunity, or perspective shift. The most inspiring transformations come not from necessity, but from choice, when someone leaves comfort for something meaningful. Phoebe Snetsinger exemplifies this. After a terminal melanoma diagnosis, she chose active travel over aggressive treatment and unexpectedly survived. This brush with death transformed casual birding into an all-consuming quest, leading her to identify nearly 5,000 bird species worldwide. Thomas Hawk pursues an equally audacious goal, shooting and publishing 1 million processed photos while balancing family and career. His commitment requires extraordinary discipline, less sleep, family tension, constant prioritization. The distinction between hobby and quest lies in obsession. Playing golf on weekends is a hobby. Playing every Scottish course within a specific time frame is a quest. When you wake consumed by your idea, when it demands action despite practical objections, you've crossed into quest territory. As hospice worker Kathleen Taylor observes, at life's end, people are incapable of bullshit. Developing visceral awareness that you will die clarifies what truly matters now. Quest seekers must ultimately rely on themselves, even facing opposition from loved ones. Brian Powell abandoned his legal career to build a community for ultrarunners, downsizing his house and working 10 to 14 hours daily for over a year. Easy projects aren't quests. They're holidays from real life, he explains. The constant pressure nearly broke him. Forgetting a tripod during race coverage almost made him quit entirely. Julie Johnson, who became legally blind at 20, decided to train her own guide dog despite widespread discouragement. "The more people tried to push me away, the more I became intrigued," she explained. Being told something is impossible often proves supremely motivating. One marathon runner who completed 50 races in a year noted, According to conventional wisdom, you're just not supposed to run a marathon every week, but that's why it's so satisfying. Society judges risk-taking based on outcomes. Successful adventurers are brave, while failed ones are stupid. Yet we must each choose our own acceptable level of risk rather than allowing fear to decide for us. Quests don't require extreme commitments. Sasha Martin created Stovetop Travel in Tulsa, Oklahoma, cooking complete meals from all 195 countries alphabetically. Her husband, Keith, documented their daughter's reactions, and the quest unexpectedly connected Sasha with local immigrants, evolving into a cultural peace initiative. What made this a true quest was its structure: a clear goal, measurable progress, a sense of calling, and concentrated effort. Before beginning, count the cost. Breaking overwhelming projects into manageable tasks makes them achievable. Calculating that visiting 100 countries would cost roughly $30,000 over 5 to 7 years prompted relief. Wow, that's all? Having a clear destination doesn't eliminate spontaneity, it enables it. For overthinkers, sometimes the best approach is simply beginning. Tom Allen's advice: pick a departure date, start saving, get a bike, tent, and sleeping bag, and go. Planning matters, but perfect preparation is procrastination's favorite disguise. Quests involve long periods of monotonous effort, punctuated by moments of achievement. Like Odysseus's decade-long journey home, modern quests include essential tedium. Experience breeds confidence, which produces success. Visiting every country became technically harder approaching the final destinations, requiring complex visas and flight itineraries, but mentally easier as variables decreased and travel hacking skills improved. Many questers experience accelerated progress as they build momentum. Phoebe Snetzinger, initially planning to see a few hundred bird species annually, soon identified nearly 1,000 in a single year. Robin Devine started knitting 100 hats, but quickly realized she needed 10,000 to feel challenged. John Mad Dog Wallace exemplifies obsessive commitment. After swearing never again following his first marathon, he ran another 2 days later. At 54, he officially began his quest and has now completed over 300 marathons in more than 100 countries. Scott Young mastered MIT's computer science curriculum in 1 year without attending, working 12 hours daily, and posting results publicly for accountability. The end of a quest brings mixed emotions. After walking across America, Nate Dem felt both amazed and annoyed that his daily purpose was complete. Chris's country-visiting quest culminated in Norway with an end-of-the-world party, where readers from 20 countries joined. An adventure that began solo ended surrounded by community. Post-quest depression is real. Howard Weaver felt tired and disoriented after his decades-long newspaper war ended in victory, realizing a large part of how I'd defined myself simply was no longer there. The greatest challenge is recognizing you've changed fundamentally. Friends dismiss your journey with "back to real life now," but as Tom Allen observed, life on the road was the real world. Isabel Leibler discovered the only true strength you will ever need comes from you and you alone. John Francis, after 22 years of walking silently, began using vehicles again. The lesson was to always revisit my decisions in light of new knowledge. Vision expands beyond initial goals. Sasha Martin's cooking project grew from improving family meals to sharing a message of peace through understanding. Phoebe Snetzinger, who spent 17 years birdwatching after a fatal cancer diagnosis, offered the most powerful lesson. If I had spent my life avoiding any and all potential risks, I would have missed doing most of the things that have comprised the best years of my life. The question isn't whether you'll face challenges, it's whether you'll let fear choose your story or choose it yourself.